I know the DJ.
Do you?
You gotta 90s baby, stand up. You're coming back because I'm blowing in it. Pause. I take my craft serious.
Get the hell out of here. I don't owe you shit.
Welcome to episode 90 of But I Know the DJ, the original New England podcast discussing all things DJing, music, nightlife, business, and pop culture through the unfiltered opinions of host Snacks.
Give me Snacks, baby.
DJ's Fingers and Cammy V. Welcome. 90. God damn, we're almost to 100. Nice. Thanks so much for rocking with us. Thanks so much for listening. And we just want to open the show with, you know, I've gotten a couple questions from younger DJs. Shout out all the DJs listening, younger, you know, mid-age, old, whatever, whether you just started DJing 6 months ago, whether you've been DJing for 6 years, 60 years, whatever it is. We just want to give some insight into the DJ world as well as talk about all kinds of other shit that's going on. But us as, I think, you know, three pretty well-established, successful DJs, a question I've been getting a few times recently was just kind of not necessarily the start, but more so the shift to, hey, I'm a beginner DJ, to, hey, I'd be like DJing. Or maybe from going to some venues I might start out at. But then shift over to like, yo, like I'm reaching to these other spots that maybe I had an eye on or I dreamed about DJing maybe. What is that shift? What is the thing that gets you from level one to level three, right? You know, we already talked about how to get started, what kind of equipment you might need, what are things you consider, maybe some manners, right? Some rules. But what is the thing that gets you from one level to the next level to eventually lead into kind of, you know, accomplished, successful, household name kind of DJing? What do you guys think?
I mean, Boston specifically, bro, there's 1,000 DJs at least. So just keeping that in mind, like, obviously the market is, like, super oversaturated. So what makes you stand out from every other person that's reaching out to me? And fogging up my lens, bro.
I fucking hate that view.
That's hilarious.
A little cloudy.
No, but you know what separates you from every other DJ that's reaching out to us? And you know, obviously, like, you have your places where you start out at, and it's pretty rare for most DJs to be at the venues that they start out at for like years and years. Usually it's like a stepping stone where you build your craft, you build your clientele, your fan base, and you know, ultimately, that's how you can, you know, you utilize those gigs to get you your foot in the door to the places where you want to go.
So what was your exact experience? What was your exact shift? What was the thing that really turned it on for you?
Dude, so I was mostly doing college bars, like pretty much, I'm sure, most everyone else at this table and a lot of other DJs in Boston. And I was doing, like, you know, the Draft and Causeway and gigs of that nature, you know. There'd be nights where there'd be, you know, it'd be slammed. It could be like 200, 250 people in the room. And then there'd be nights where there'd be 20, 30 people in the room. So, you know, I think just the way I went about it was, I'm going to take this time, whether there's a full room or not, I'm going to take this time to really master my craft, develop my creativity, develop my sound. And then it's like, hey, I feel like I'm ready for the next step. And the next step usually involves you reaching out to other DJs, you know, posting a lot of content, and come correct too, because, like, you know, if you're sending like content that, you know, is just super generic, you're not really doing too much, or I can tell off like usually the first 10 minutes of someone's mix that they send me, like, they're ready or they're not ready.
Yeah.
Cause I can judge it based on where I was, at that time. What do you think, Fingers?
I say, yeah, I agree a lot with that. I also agree with knowing where you are, because there's a lot of DJs that get opportunities that are not ready for the opportunity.
Yeah.
So knowing where you are and not, maybe not taking opportunities that you're not ready for, because then you can just exhaust your next chance of ever being in that place again.
That's something that a lot of people suffer from, where, like, I've said this before, like, every DJ thinks they deserve every gig.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And that, you know, they look at a guy at a stage and they're like, yo, like, that should be me, right?
Yeah.
And which is fine, you know, have that attitude, but also be realistic of being like, are you realistically ready?
Are you going to go from doing like a 200, 150 person college bar to now be like, yep, I deserve to be the headline spot
at
like some of the biggest nightclubs in Boston.
Right.
No, I can tell you firsthand, you're not ready.
Yeah. There's been plenty of times where I'm like, before you even book me, I'm like, hey, you know what? Let me come out. I've said this before. Let me come out and feel the vibe and feel what the night is and see, you know, how am I going to go about tackling this? You know what I'm saying? And that's doing your homework. That's doing the due diligence. The place is not going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
See, if they called you, if they hit you up one time, they're going to hit you up again. And it's more respect to be like, hey, you know what? I want to come out, feel out your night, show some love. Mm-hmm. And then from there, we can book a night off that. You know what I'm saying?
Fingers, I know that your story is a little interesting because you got in so young. And it was kind of a different time, you being the oldest. What was your, like, what were you doing before you got into nightclubs? And what was the thing that kind of got you in and made you a staple there?
First time I was really DJing, I started doing house parties at 15.
Mm-hmm.
So doing the house parties around the hood, like stuff like that around Boston, stuff like the name, the brand, like people start hearing who's these dudes. I had a
think about the house party scene in Boston is like very loyal.
Yeah,
like they'll fuck with you really heavy.
And then back then it was really like dancing, like that's when dance hall was popping. Oh, yeah, hip hop was popping.
I got like the tail end of it when I was in high school.
Exactly. So and then we had our little crew of DJ JJP where we was doing that, and then we started to do under 21s, and we were killing it.
Mm-hmm.
Straight up killing it. And then, you know, my mic work and that trickled down into the city. And then, you know, just my connections as well. Like I said, knowing people like Styx he was kind of my bridge into meeting Hectic. And to know that these dudes were actually listening to with my mixtapes.
Mm-hmm.
I think my mixtapes and my presence was a big factor in me transitioning into the big clubs.
Yeah, I think specifically talking about me, I think skill wise and creativity, I was definitely there. But the biggest thing for me was being in front of one, that many people, and two, having like, dude, you're putting on a show.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? You have to have that stage presence. You have to have like the MC work. And that's where, you know, going to see guys like you and Snacks and Stams and seeing how you guys control a room and like literally breathe energy into that room, and just like the sweat, you can feel it fucking change as soon as you guys hop on. That's something that unless you're going out and seeing other guys and you know, opening for those types of guys, you can't put that experience into words. You can't just like go from doing a college bar to being like, yep, I can do that. It comes with practice. It comes with learning from others.
That whole swagger and that whole like confidence. Speaking of Stams, like I actually have a video of him of him practicing using the mic at one of our events. I found it on my Instagram. I'm asking to repost it.
That's awesome.
Yeah, please super young,
and Selector was DJing. Selector was kind of the one that kind of taught him a lot. But that was the thing. We used to throw dudes into the fire that way.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, hey, no, here, grab the mic, rock the mic for me.
Yeah, yeah.
That's awesome.
Like, yo, I don't know what to, no, throw you into the fire. That's how you're going to learn. You got to, you know what I'm saying? So, like, for us, it's always been that. And we always kind of had that mentality, like, yo, you know, we got this. We're going to do this. And that was my mentality. But I did the work. I was in my room on the mic, letting music play, talking, coming up with things to say, learning where to.
Your phrases.
Learning my phrases, where to project. That's why the mic doesn't have to be that loud for me to be loud.
Mm-hmm.
That's why when I walk out, I'll be like, hey guys, turn that mic down. You know what I'm saying? Because I know how to project.
From the diaphragm.
You know what I'm saying? So like, a lot of y'all pause, y'all scream from the throat. That's why y'all sound like ass on the mic. But it's just knowing where you are at that point in time.
Yeah.
And then you don't burn your own bridge that way. You know what I'm saying? From that, it's more respect to be like, hey, listen, I want to come check you out. Or, hey, I'm not ready for this yet, but you know what? Can I come out and show some love? And can you take care of me at the door? I want to come see how you're not. I'm pretty sure they'd be like, yeah, come through. If they're hitting you up, then yeah, but yeah, I'd love to do that. So just knowing where you at and staying consistent is huge.
Yeah, for me, it's crazy because I see how young dudes are moving now. Like, there's some really young guys doing really big stuff that, like, are doing gigs I couldn't get till I was 23, 24, 25, which is crazy. You know, it's crazy to see.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those things where there's no one direction. You know what I mean? There's no one journey. There's no one path. Like, everyone kind of has their flow. And it's like, again, like, there are dudes who are doing shit that I couldn't get at that age. You know, so it's not necessarily to say that my journey is correct or whatever. Maybe my end game is what a lot of people want, but the journey isn't necessarily fit for everybody and for every situation. But with that being said, like when I first turned 21, I remember I was asking myself the same questions that I'm getting now of like, how do I play at these places that I want to be in? I know that I have the venues in mind. I have the nights in mind, you know, how do I get there? Right. And so what I did was, I would figure out who the promoters were and start just pulling up, and especially like spending money I didn't have. You know what I mean? And just showing up dolo. Like, I remember, like, industry nights, like, Storyville Wednesday. Like, I would go to... Big I went one. For, like, a month straight just on my own just to, like, one, listen to the DJs because it was DJs I heard of or, like, followed on Instagram. And I was like, yo, they're doing what I'm doing, what I want to be doing. And I would just go to listen alone. Mind you, I had a day job. I had class the next day. Whatever it was, depending on the year. But, yeah, this is when I was, like, 2021. Like, it was either in my last year of college or, like, I've just started my job out of college and, like, at the time, like, DJing, like, a bunch of bars and stuff and doing my thing, but, like, I was like, yo, I need to figure out, like, what it takes to be at these places. And I would pull up, like, yeah, Tunnel Tuesdays, like, the industry nights that when I wasn't DJing. And I would, like, especially at those industry nights, like, you would see the promoters just chilling, like, at the bar. And I'd be like, yo, that, like, I was like, oh, shit, those are the guys. And I remember, I'm going to say his name, Jeff London was there. Dimmy was the, you know, they were there and they're just hanging out, doing what promoters do, like drinking, talking to girls, you know, talking to people, whatever. And I would go up to them and I would be like, yo, like, I'm not, you guys have no idea who I am. Like, can I buy you a drink? And like, and these are dudes that don't have to buy drinks that, yep. They don't have to spend money on buying drinks. They can get free drinks. But like, I'm really trying to like do. And again, I don't have money. Like, I should not be paying for drinks, but I'm doing whatever. And I remember there was this one night. I'll never forget this fucking night. I definitely told you this story before. I don't know if you know the story. There's one night where, so Jeff and I, bless Jeff's heart, shout out Jeff. We grew up in neighboring towns. So the town he grew up in is next to the one I grew up in. And so when we talked about where we were from, we started clicking and being like, yo, you know this spot, you know this spot, you know this spot. He grew up 10 minutes from me. And so we just like started like hitting it off that way. And like, doing shots, doing drinks, whatever. Like, at this point, I'm like, yo, this dude, like, likes me. You know what I mean? And I remember he's like, yo, like, you know, I live down the street. You want to, like, mind you, this is a Wednesday night. I have work the next day. He's like, yo, like, I live down the street. Like, you want to come through? You want to come over? And, like, just, like, keep vibing? And I'm like, so tired.
Those
I'm drunk.
Nights end up being tough.
Yeah, but those are the, but it's one of those things, and this is in any industry, any business. Most of the like, there's a reason why big businessmen play golf all the time. Like, the best business and the best networking happens not during business hours.
Not in a business setting.
You feel what I'm saying?
Yep, absolutely.
So I was like, I knew that it was going to hurt me the next day. I knew that I'm already like X amount of dollars in the hole. But I was like, this is what it's going to take. I know it's what it's going to take. So I go to this dude's fucking house. We're vibing. He's telling me about this dude. He starts FaceTiming this DJ from this day, being like, yo, I'm with this. And I'm just like, hi. Like, I'm just, and he's telling me stories and blah, 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 nightlife, whatever, whatever. It's like 4 a.m., dude. And then eventually he's like, yo, like, you should like play with us sometime.
There he goes.
And I just like look at him and I'm like,
learning how to have a conversation.
I would love that.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, I should.
Being personable, like, learning how to have a fucking conversation.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, I should. And he's like, yeah. He's like, we exchange numbers, obviously. He's like, I'm going to text you tomorrow. Next day, he's like, yo, let's start getting you in the mix, whatever. I start opening, whatever, whatever. And the rest is history. And to this day, shout out fucking Jeff. I love you, Jeff.
Yo, that's
text me whenever.
That's how me and Jeff got like this. It was one of those nights where he was like, he's always seen me around, but he was like, we had never really bonded. He said, yo, come through.
Yeah.
Came through, spent a freaking, did a bender. Ever since that day, that's been my big brother.
Yeah,
for my
You make a great point, though, about there's a lot of guys that are in rooms that are very big for, like, their age or, like, their, you know, how many years they've been in the game for DJing. And I will say that, you know, I'm sure there's some of those guys that are trying to get to the next step, like nightclubs, et cetera, et cetera. But the one thing that you can't teach is experience. Yeah. And I'd say, you know, the long way is the best teacher of experience. Making mistakes, making mistakes in small peanuts nights are huge teaching lessons for you that are just so invaluable. And, you know, there's guys that, like, the nights that we do require a lot of experience, I'd say.
Yeah.
And I would hate to see guys that think like, yeah, you know, I'm the man, I'm doing like big gigs, and then be like, I'm ready for this, and they go in and, you know, they make a mistake, whether it be an equipment issue or some shit going on, and it fucking bombs on them, and then now they're not asked, they can never go back there.
And I'll, before we shift gears, like, I do want to add this, I guess, like, story or like very key moment in my career was just the opening part. I know we've talked a lot about opening and all that stuff, but it is such a key part of my experience. You know, what really got me into clubs from bars was opening for people like Young Tut, Stams, in, you know, Tao, Papa Don, opening for these guys at the clubs that I wanted to play at. And there was probably like a 6 to 12 month period where I was just opening for free. Shout out Tut, who like put me on crazy at Bijou, put me on crazy. Like there was a point where like he was probably DJing every other Saturday, and I opened for him every other Saturday.
Yeah,
and I was just in the room, and I would stay the whole night and just like watch how he did it, how we like moved the room.
Yep.
And then there was one night. Oh my God, I'll never forget this night. Memphis Bleek was the host. He was just there.
That's wild.
Whatever. And I was opening as I always do. And this was back at, it was a 900 with a Serato box. So I fully learned how to do that. Like, they was doing that every other week, was like playing to this crowd, like learning how to be around bottle girls, learning how to be around management, learning how to interact with lighting people. Like, these little things that, like, I was just around that these bars didn't have. So there's like this etiquette thing. There's this way to speak to people. There's this kind of way of being like, I say this all the time, where it's like, act like you've been here before. Mm. You know what I mean? Where like there's dudes who are like at clubs, and we're like, a bottle girl goes up to him, like touches their arm. They're like, hey, do you need anything? They're like, and I'm just like, bro, act like you've been here before. You know what I mean? Because again, like people can smell that. People can see that. People can feel that, right?
Yep.
So I'm getting all these like interactions that at the time I didn't realize I was getting, but looking back I was, and that was super valuable, right? And I remember this Memphis Bleek night, right? Mind you, my name was like never on the flyer, blah, blah, blah. Like I was just the dude that Tub was putting on to open, so he didn't have to go on early. And staying till the end every time, I knew what songs worked. You know what I'm saying? And I remember he texted me at like 11:15. He goes, yeah, I'm not showing up. He goes, do the whole night. And I was like, holy shit.
I was like
I've done this room 20 times, like I know what works. He does it all the time, like I know what moves, and I have my style too that I know works, and I did it, you know. And it was one of those things where like I wasn't nervous, because again, I've seen it, I've been around it for the last x amount of weeks, x amount of months. And obviously, like, management saw, like, Tut the next day, yo, you killed it, blah 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 blah. Like, now, like, I get a headliner, right? And I get a headliner at one credible spot, right? That starts moving the needle, right?
Mm-hmm.
The spot across the street will see it. The promoters across the street will see it. You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
Now I got the flyer for that. Oh, shit, I made it here, right? Now the dudes that are trying to have me open in XYZ, I'm like, well, now I'm headlining here. Now I'm getting paid over here.
Right.
I can't open for you anymore.
Yeah.
Or maybe I still choose, because I still want this in. But now I know what worked here. Now let's replicate it there. Yeah. Right, now we're doing it there.
Yeah.
There's definitely an opportunity cost, because again, like, don't be afraid to give up some of your paid gigs at like some of these college spots to go and take an opening opportunity for a place where you want to go and play.
Yeah, but like you said, it like act like you've been here before, especially around big name artists. Like my moment for me when Fat Man Scoop, I was in my early 20s, Fat Man Scoop got booked.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I opened, and he remembered who I was the second time. So the second time he came around, it was Venue. First time was Rumor, second time was Venue. Venue, I opened up, he hopped on, and I just grabbed the mic and started rocking the mic for him.
And for those who don't know, Fat Man Scoop is the mic rocker.
Any party edit you've heard,
you don't touch his
guy.
You don't touch his mic.
Is Fat Man Scoop?
You do not touch his mic. I grabbed the mic. I started rocking the mic, like dropping tracks. I was in the party rocking, and I knew my time. Like, I didn't put it down. As I'm putting the mic down, he grabs the mic, and I'm like, oh shit, what did I do? And then he's like, yo, nah, keep going.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
And then he's like, yo, let's take a picture. Let's do it now. He's like, yo, you're crazy. Yeah. That was my full circle moment right there.
That's fucking awesome.
Being
bro.
In your early 20s.
Yeah, that's
like,
crazy.
You know, and people call me kind of like the fat man, the way I talk and shit like that. People call me that. So like, that
I think ultimately huge. The point is like being, you can only find yourself in positions like that if you've taken the time to get there. You know what I mean? And so
be present.
Be present. there's no better ability than availability. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And taking those moments and seizing those moments. That does not mean try and do an ultra headlining set at your opening set. That's not what that means.
No.
You know, it's taking in information, taking in experience. So then when it is your time, you're like, I have seen this before. I have done this before. And now you can kill it. You kill it, and they ask for you back, and now your journey there starts.
And his exact words was, I like the way you open.
That goes a long way.
I like the way you open. That is fire.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So DJs out there, it's not about dropping the hottest tracks. It's about creating a vibe that nobody can replicate. Mm-hmm. And then for me, again, I say it all the time, I feel like the beginning of the night is the most important part of the night.
It is.
People coming in with the most energy. By the end of the night, they're kind of tired.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, and it's easy to kind of just drop a fucking fire track. But prove yourself opening up. Once you do that, I feel like anywhere else, you're good.
And opening up, we said this a lot, like, opening up is an art because, in a lot of ways, it's difficult. It's easy in the sense that you have access to more music than a headliner does. That's one. But in the way that it's difficult opening is you have to play all the music that people don't want to hear.
You're the icebreaker, man.
You see what I'm saying? You have to play all the tracks that, like we know that they want to hear the ski, the sexuality, but that's not the time. Yep. You have to play all the songs they don't want to hear.
Dude, fall into the, like, because there's people that come at me at 11 o'clock. Can you play ski? I'm like, dude, it's fucking 11 o'clock. What are you talking about?
Yeah. Right.
If you're getting people moving during your opening set, like, you know you're fucking killing it. Yeah, especially if you're not playing big records. You know you're good.
Yeah. So, appreciate you guys for your insight. And if you guys have questions, definitely let us know. Say in the comments, the YouTube comments, just shoot us a DM. We'd love to just talk about it. We know that people are listening. And if you have questions, please interact with us. We love it.
We encourage it.
Moving on, there's a lot going on. Too much going on, honestly. This Diddy shit is crazy. You guys hear about this?
What are you talking about?
Those nightmares? What are we talking about?
Diddy's kind of always been...
Hold on, wait a minute. Y'all thought I was finished?
That's crazy.
That's what Diddy said.
Diddy's kind of always been in the limelight, for better or for worse. I mean, he's been active in the music game since the early 90s.
Yeah, man.
It's been a long time, and whether it's music legality, whether it's sexual allegations, whether it's just being kind of a weirdo in general, he's kind of always been in the limelight.
Yeah.
Very controversial. If you've seen his shows, very judgmental, very hard-headed, but just kind of a certified weirdo in a lot of ways. And if you're living under a rock, very, very... Most recently, he is just in this new lawsuit where a producer that he worked with recently is suing him. So according to what is reported by XXL Mag, Diddy is the protagonist of another media scandal, which also involves Meek Mill and Usher. Diddy is facing a sexual harassment and assault lawsuit filed against him by former collaborator Lil Rod Made It Jones. In fact, a file of approximately 73 pages has been opened against Diddy by producer Rodney, in which he is accused of sexual violence and harassment. The file also reports that during the recording of the Love album, Off the Grid, or Diddy's latest album, Jones was allegedly the victim of mobbing by Diddy, suffered harassment, witnessed drug use, and he would have been the victim of sexual violence, specifically Diddy, the actor, Cuba Gooding Jr., Young Miami, sexually abused the producer, which is just a wild and random bunch. Part of the legal documentation that appeared online reads, Mr. Combs informed Mr. Jones that he had sexual relations with the rapper, R&B singer, and Stevie J. Although the names of Meek Mill and Usher were withheld, the attached footnotes suggest that it is them, as they are described with these words. He is a rapper from Philadelphia who dated Nicki Minaj, and he performed at the Super Bowl and had a successful residency in Las Vegas. What are your thoughts?
I think it's bullshit. I think it's not true. First of all, he had tried to sue Diddy before for royalties. I think for getting paid for something, for production or something like that, and that didn't work. He didn't have the money to sue Diddy, and then this came up. where he was like, hey, I got sexual assaulted, but I still kept working for him. Da, da, da. All right. Man, listen. I think it's bullshit. I think that he's just trying to get clout. I think that he's just trying to get attention. He actually had a GoFundMe that actually raised money enough so he can go sue Diddy. I just think your agenda at first didn't work with the whole production thing, and then you wanted to go this route. Obviously, Diddy's in a position right now where anybody coming out with an allegation, people are gonna listen just because one, it's a big name. Diddy's a huge name.
Well, Diddy's kind of like he's in the heat right now.
But he has a history though.
And that's what's making it easy for people to come out the woodwork and make dumb claims.
But that doesn't make it believable.
I don't think it's believable. First of all, number one, if you're getting sexually assaulted, I would not go back to my. I'm sorry. It's just me. I'm a grown man, and I'm gonna tell you right now. I'm with Diddy,
here we go.
If I'm sitting at a desk with Diddy. And Diddy tried to do some shit to me, I'm not going back there the next day clocking in like, hey, we working? I'm sorry, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that.
Everyone has their situation.
I don't give a fuck. I'm not doing that shit. That shit is bullshit. If you went back to work after that, you had a chance to go home. You could have filed a report then and there. You would have got some money right then and there. Hey, you did some shit to me. I'm gonna go right here and do it. No, you waited. You worked. You finished the fucking album. The album came out. He got nominated for a fucking Grammy. All this shit blew up. You didn't get paid. And now all of a sudden you want to come out with harassment shit? It's just the timeline of the bullshit. I just feel like it's cap.
And obviously with the allegations, you know, and the rumors that are going around, Meek Mill has been under a rainstorm of just kind of jokes and allegations. Meek Mill posted a series of messages on the past week, amid accusations of his involvement in the latest lawsuit against Diddy. Meek claimed they suspect hip-hop artists of being either snitches or gay, but it's unclear who they are in this situation outlined by the Philly native. They are, in quotes, they are powering this stuff, even if it's fake, he wrote. The goal is to disrupt the hip-hop community. I own this music that dropped tomorrow. Play it. I don't know what that fucking means.
He dropped a song.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay.
No, he dropped an EP.
Correct. He dropped five songs.
Oh, it's actually fire. Yeah. The two things they say, he says, we snitching or we gay, .. We generating hundreds of millions from music. It's not a coincidence. We all gay and snitches, .. They are powering this stuff, even if it's fake, as I just mentioned. And another tweet, he says, next, I'm exposed. These rappers' grammar just got me fucked up. Sorry. Next, I'm exposed. Who's behind trying to kill the black image of the most influential artist? And lastly, he says, he tweets, every black blog site enhanced the post to make me seem gay, .. I changed laws for our people. I donate millions, .. They are designed to destroy the image of black leaders. It can't work with me, though. You got to really kill me, and I will still get better, bigger after death. This God, not me. So
Meek needs to learn to just shut up. He needs to learn to just not say anything. He's not the best at PR.
Yeah, no, I can barely read his tweets.
He definitely needs a PR team. But that being said, if he is silent about it, I think it looks worse. Has Usher come out and said anything about this?
No, not really. Not once. And everyone,
Usher also just got
it.
Married.
And he's
like, you know what I mean? He just got married. Just finished the Super Bowl. Like, he's riding too
he's
high.
He's also on like a whole nother level of like stardom.
Yeah, but Meek. He's known for fighting the smallest people with like no.
But I think that's just that
avatar.
I think that's just that hood shit.
Hip hop mentality.
It's just hip hop mentality. It's hood shit. And like, this dude's like been to jail. You know what I mean? Like it's just, man. It's just like, a black man been to jail. You know, does
ain't going back.
Does really hood gangster type rap. You know, I came from the gutter type shit.
I'm sorry, but
these allegations mean a lot to
you. Him. Going online saying I'm not bashing gay activity does not say that you're not gay to me. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Like, you laugh the shit off. Learn how to laugh shit off. Like, you can't. You're in a space where people are gonna say shit regardless. That's my thing. I know it's hard to sit there because it's hard to sit there and just be like, yeah, whatever. But me, like. When people come at me negatively, I laugh the shit off. I hit them with positivity. Straight up, they don't know what the fuck to do with themselves. They're like, What? Well, yeah. I hope you have a great fucking day.
Fingers missed the positivity.
No, but it's just like people feed into that more. So they're taking all these tweets and making more headlines off of your tweets, and it's making you look even more bad.
Why do you think Diddy hasn't been canceled as an R. Kelly or anyone else has been?
I think the whole Diddy thing is still being processed. I think nothing.
Because nothing's tangible.
There hasn't been a conclusion to one thing. One, it got
what about
paid,
the, what about like the Cassie stuff?
It got paid out. So that's the double-edged sword with that is because she took a payout. She didn't take it to court. Mm-hmm. So that then people say, oh, you didn't take it to court. There might be a lie there. And then he paid. He didn't fight it. So there's that. Oh shit! He might have really did
doubt,
it.
Plausible doubt.
So there's no conclusion to that situation. Mm-hmm. So now people saw a door because he's been getting these allegations for years,
long time.
Yeah.
And now I think a lot of people are coming out the woodwork saying things that I don't know. I think a lot of it's bullshit. I don't believe it. I think people are being opportunistic.
I think he's such an interesting celebrity. I think, you know. I don't want to talk about death on upon anybody, but I think when he does go, I think the documentaries, because it's his hand and the sexual stuff, but it's also like the Biggie stuff.
I was gonna say there's a
and he's had his hand in the careers of so many different artists, you know, making the band and yeah. these groups and these individual artists and stuff like that.
It hasn't been so positive.
I think the documentary that's gonna come out of Diddy's career is gonna be insane, like.
It's going to be a lot. There's going to be a lot going on in there. But for me, I feel like, like I said, for what Diddy has done for music is amazing. Diddy's just a freaky boy, man. He's just a freaky
and
boy.
And he's always been kind of off.
He's a freaky boy, like, man. He's
every time I see, like,
he's a freaky
videos of
fucking
him,
boy,
I'm like,
man.
I'm like, yo, this dude's off, man.
And a lot of y'all relax, because if I look at your Pornhub searches, y'all be some freaky ass motherfuckers too.
I don't like
relax.
When you talk about me like that.
Yeah, that's why give a lot of motherfuckers snacks, be out here baby. Talking shit about, oh, Diddy, you into this, you into that. If I look at your fucking porn searches, shit.
I don't like that.
That's crazy.
Yeah, when you see some stepmom shit in there, you fucking nasty.
You know, it is. That time of the year used to be my favorite time of the year. Now I kind of don't really have too much relation to it. Spring break, man. Oh, my gosh. Shout out all my students out there, my spring breakers out there having a good time. I know some people out in Punta Cana doing shit out there. People in, I don't know, where do people go?
Where'd you guys go?
I didn't go anywhere. I was poor.
Vegas?
Miami.
I did a Fort Lauderdale trip one year, and nice. It was unbelievable.
Speaking of Miami, Miami Beach is breaking up with spring breakers. You guys hear about this? In a social media campaign, Miami Beach, Florida. It's just so weird. It's like the whole, it's just like the entire city. Like it's like the entire.
We
area.
As Miami
yeah,
Beach.
Yeah. Said it would be implementing new rules ahead of the popular time of year for visitors. And if, you know, again, if you've been living under a rock, Miami at this time gets real ratchet. It gets real.
This is where we see all the social media videos like of crazy shit happening.
Well, if you remember last year, this is when Poundtown the music video was recorded.
That is true.
If you remember, it's Poundtown, it's like spring Miami spring
I'm out
break
here in
edition
Miami.
Or whatever. Yeah, yeah.
And slum me out.
Yeah, yeah. It's like it's just feral energy down there. The city of Miami Beach sent out a strong message to spring breakers this month. We're breaking up with you, in quotes. The Florida city released a new ad campaign the past week in which it outlined its plans for stricter rules for tourists. The social media campaign comes a year after Miami Beach declared a state of emergency following two fatal shootings during spring break.
Yeah.
It was the third year in a row that Miami Beach had to enact emergency measures to control disorderly crowds. The video ad shows a number of people to appear to be locals breaking up with spring breakers. It calls out visitors who want to get drunk in public and ignore laws rather than enjoy the city's culture. It also shows clips of the chaos from the last spring break and calls incidents our breaking point with spring break. Miami Beach officials said that the city would implement curfews, bag checks, restricted beach access, DUI checkpoints, and expensive parking fees. It also said it would increase law enforcement. The city's plans to crack down on tourists were first unveiled in a new release this past February.
Can I ask the question? Is it a spring break issue or is it a Miami issue?
What do you mean?
Yeah, I feel like those are...
No.
Well, they're not the same thing, but...
They're not the same thing.
Well, okay. So Miami's a touristy city. That's where people... It's summer all year long.
So let me ask you, do you think, obviously, like, the breaking point was, like, the shootings and everything, correct?
Right.
do we think that the people that are traveling there from college are bringing guns and stuff?
Well, okay, I see what you're saying, but I think it's I think they're able to lean on the shooting thing because that's it's potentially fatal, right? But I think the issue is actually just like, I mean, we feel it sometimes where it's like when there's this influx of tourists in the summer and they're clogging up Faneuil Hall and stuff, and we're just like, oh, like these fucking I think it's really that, and the fact that it's all these ignorant ass drunk kids running around, that if they're like, I think they have to use something that's very real and tangible in shooting and potential death to be able to be like, hey, like, you got, I mean, it's facts, right? It happened in the last 3 years during this week when all these fucking kids come through, that this happens, right?
But again, it's not just that week.
I understand what you're saying, but
it's not
but
just
I think
that week.
I think they're able, they can, there's no stronger argument than death. There's no stronger argument than someone getting shot.
I understand, you know that, but what about all the other shootings that happen in
sure.
Miami Beach?
No, I hear what you're saying, but again, I think the ultimate thing is like we're just fed up with all these fucking kids like terrorizing
so they're just
our
like,
town.
All right, go someplace else. Go to Fort
it's
Lauderdale.
It's an excuse to take back their city around this time.
I mean, imagine being a local, someone who was like born in Miami Beach, and like you live there with your parents and shit, and this happens every year.
Bro, like, there's places like that all over the country though.
But Miami, like you, bro. Come on, when a girl's like, I'm going to Miami,
yeah, it's different.
It's a different vibe than, oh, I'm going to visit New York.
It's different.
Oh, I'm going to visit Chicago. It's a different vibe.
No, but there's travel destinations all over the country.
But like, but that's what I'm saying. Miami is a very specific energy. It's a specific vibe. Yeah, it's the palm trees. It's the hookah patios, like 50 hookah patios.
You know I love a good hookah patio.
On the strip. It's a different, the Latin vibes, the Cuban energy, the Caribbean energy. It's a vibe. It's bro. Well, last time I was there, I was at a red light, and these girls just pop out of the SUV and just start twerking and taking videos at the red light. Like, you know what I mean? And like, just,
was that during spring break?
No, but it was Miami. But it was Miami energy. I mean, you can tell they were tourists.
A lot of people don't know how to drink for a long period of time.
Oh, here we go.
That's
I'm just saying
a lot of people, just like yes, here in Boston. Facts. If Boston opens up for another an hour or two, there would be a lot more bullshit going on in the city. You hear
stop talking, because we already have so many nightlife issues. You're the same person
it's
that's
the
like,
fucking
we should
truth.
Be open, you're, we should be open longer. We
no,
need
you,
to
no,
be
no,
open.
You should have seen
happy hour.
You should have seen Fingers this past Friday. I need another fucking shot. Give me a fucking shot.
When the fuck did I do that?
On Friday.
I did not sound like that on the fucking mic. I don't sound like that on the
you
mic.
Didn't sound, I didn't say it was the mic.
When did I say that?
What are you talking about?
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about Friday. I'm talking about you on Friday.
I did not sound like that on Friday.
Yeah, you did.
No, I did not.
When we were talking after. Not on the mic.
Oh, my God.
Do you remember talking after?
I remember talking after. That was perfectly fine.
Mm.
Whatever.
I'm just saying,
all right, people go out there to let loose more than normally. So they go out there and they just act reckless.
Yeah.
Yes, there's other places that they do that, but that is more of a prominent place where people go.
It's summer in the winter.
Dude, and that's fine. My point is, why not? Dude, obviously, other than spring break, it is definitely a massive tourist attraction. Why not just have a heightened police presence anyways?
Right, but I mean, at the end of the day, we know that
people go to Nashville all the time. Like,
it's not a beach. Like, it's not the same.
You're
dude.
Telling me the beach makes people want to shoot people?
Cammy, come on.
Is that what you're saying?
No, what the fuck? But I'm saying it's an energy. People act up. If we're in college, right? Let's say we're three college roommates.
No, talk to Cammy. Hell yeah.
Say we're three college roommates. Yes. And I'm like, okay, spring break's coming up. The choices are Miami, New York, or LA. What are you gonna say?
What the fuck is he saying, right?
Pull some more choices out, dude. There's 100 other places you can go.
That's our budget. We're college kids.
Facts,
dude. Those three places are also like big budgets, anyways. Like you could easily.
I'm saying those are some of like you're talking about places in the U.S. that people want to travel to. Those are some of the biggest places that people want to travel to.
Vegas, Scottsdale. You could go to Nashville.
Okay, I say. Fingers, please. I say
Miami. Fort Lauderdale.
I say Miami.
Fort Lauderdale has a massive.
I say Miami, Scottsdale, and Nashville.
Yes.
We're going to Miami.
Of course we're going to Miami. You know why? Because all the girls are going to Miami for spring break.
Great, sure. Pick Miami. But also, I'm saying Fort Lauderdale also has a massive spring break population.
Dude, Colorado?
They don't have the same issues.
Colorado, dude?
Stop, because stop. No.
Fort Lauderdale's not Miami, bro.
Dude, it's an hour drive up A1A. It's...
Okay, first of all, I know. It's not the same. It's not the same. You tell me people look at Fort Lauderdale the same way they look at Miami?
Yes.
No.
Have you been to the Fort Lauderdale beach during spring break?
I've DJed in Fort Lauderdale. There's a distinct difference.
Have you been during spring break?
I don't think no. it's the same.
It's not the same. It's not the same.
Wrong, because, I'm telling you, it's the same. It's frat row on the beach mixing with all the locals. Dude, I met Zeke Elliott on the beach when
I was
there.
Bro, I'm not saying it's not popping. I'm not saying that.
It's just a different level of popping.
I'm sure if we went to Fort Lauderdale for spring break, we would have an amazing time.
You'd have
a great
time.
But what I'm saying, there is, again, a distinct energy of when people are like, we are going to Miami.
Are you going to smack Cammy, bro? Are you going to smack him, bro?
No.
Damn.
He's got the hand ready.
You know when I get hyped up, I talk with my hands and I start stuttering, you know?
I've never seen y'all argue before. This is fucking great. Is this how it feels like?
Yeah, this is how it feels.
Am
I wrong?
You're not wrong.
Miami is a different energy. It's a different vibe. Miami's sexier. It's more Latin. There's hookahs everywhere.
It's more of a staple than being like, hey, I'm going to Fort Lauderdale. Yeah. I'm going to fucking get lit. No, I'm going to fucking Miami. I'm going to live, motherfucker. Like, let's go. Yeah, Fat Tuesdays. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's kind of different. It's kind of different. He's about to smack the shit out of you, man.
That was crazy.
I heard him say your mama all that shit.
Everyone out.
I'm glad I'm sitting next to you.
Everyone out in spring break, I hope you're being safe, and I hope you're fucking... Come on, man. I hope you're treating everybody right, man. Come on, man. Shout out Miami.
Unprotected sex. Get it.
Did want to... great show, everybody. Did want to finish the show with something we haven't done in a while, and that the people have been asking. Read the papes. A draft. We haven't done a draft in a while, guys. Mm. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, is that Michael? What are we doing, dude? You guys are going to lose. Don't fucking... Don't even... You guys want to do this right now? You want to do this right now?
I was trying to think of good drafts that we haven't done. We've done some really awesome ones. And, you know, we've done, like, bands. We've done singers. We've done rappers. We've done, you know, we've done a bunch of stuff. We haven't gone to the nitty-gritty. We haven't done, like, song. We haven't done, like, individual songs.
Where are you going with this?
Let's draft Michael Jackson song.
Oh, y'all gonna fucking lose.
So we're gonna do this.
You're gonna fucking lose.
We're gonna draft. We're gonna do a snake draft of Michael Jackson songs, five apiece. Keep it concise. My producer's over there. How we doing? How we doing back there?
I don't need my phone for this one.
I need you guys to pick an order. Who's going first? Who's going second? Who's going third?
Fingers, Cammy, snacks.
That's crazy. All right.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. It's the year of Cave Verdean, man. It's the year of Cave Verdean. I'm telling you, we won't fucking bat.
So, snake draft. Fingers goes first. Cammy goes second. I go third. And then I start the second round. And we continue on that way. Do we understand the rules? Five per person. This includes Jackson 5.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah,
his whole career.
This is Michael Jackson. Bangers. I'm a little nervous. So
it changed the fucking music industry forever. This song.
Wait, can I intro the thing for social media first?
Okay, I'm sorry.
Can I intro this game? Welcome everybody to the But I Know the DJ Michael Jackson song draft. Each host will be choosing Michael Jackson songs from any point of his career to be able to construct the best team of Michael Jackson songs.
Ow!
First pick, Fingers, take it away.
It changed the motherfucking music industry forever. The music industry was on a decline when this song came out. It was the first song off an incredible album. It was the first song off an iconic album. Everyone wants to replicate it. No, you can't. It's fucking Michael Jackson, motherfucker. I'm going with motherfucking Billie Jean. It's not my motherfucking bitch, man. I didn't fucking pull out, but it's not my fucking baby. It's Billie motherfucking Jean. We lighting up the streets on the sidewalk when we walk in. Yeah, come on, man. Throw the beat on, bro. Damn, you see, he's hating on motherfuckers. Right? Trying to fuck up the aesthetic out here because, you know, niggas is about to lose right now, son. Yo, put on that Billy Jean real quick. Yo, hear that fucking snare, bro? You hear that snare? You hear that snare, bro? Shout out Mike Swedeen, the motherfucking engineer of the fucking album. You made fucking that shit sound crazy.
Oh, God. So Billy Jean, number one pick. When I was thinking about it, I was like, is it corny to like pick the most famous? Like,
nah, it's just a fucking draft, baby.
You know?
You ain't gonna fucking pick LeBron. You ain't gonna pick Jordan at the end, are you? You fucking man.
He got picked third.
You fucking asshole. Let's go.
It's a good pick. I would have taken that number one.
Sorry, I love Michael Jackson, you guys. I'm sorry.
I think aside from Billie Jean, we're thinking of like the most iconic. You hear the first fucking note, you know what the song is. Cue up Thriller.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, like I said, like I was thinking
about
What's
the first note of Thriller? Da-da. That's not the first note of Thriller.
Depends on the version.
That's the first right there. Wow. You know what I'm saying? Depends on the
version. That's what I mean, like
I'm sorry, you're not playing Thriller all year long. You're playing Thriller at fucking Halloween. It's just how it is.
You're playing
Billie Jean all year fucking long. I'm sorry. You ain't going to tell me this is the most iconic song on the fucking album. It's the most iconic video on the album, not the most iconic song.
Think of everything that came with it.
One of the most iconic videos, like, period, though.
Yeah. Think of
culturally
that came with it.
Thriller.
Okay, he said song. We're talking about songs here. You're not going to tell me Thriller is over Billie Jean.
You're not wrong. I mean,
let's go.
I told you I would have taken Billie Jean.
And that's why I'm saying
I would
like,
take Billie Jean
that's what
too,
I'm saying,
but I can't.
This first round is interesting because how
big
these songs weigh is very, it's very, big. It depends. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like
suck
they all
my
have,
dick, Billie Jean, baby!
And that's where it puts me in a weird spot because like I don't necessarily, this isn't my favorite Michael song. This isn't. It doesn't really place anywhere that high for me personally, but I know what it means in the bigger scheme. And also, that's how I feel about songs 2 and 3 that I want to pick. And then I'm really hoping that they're still there. So my first pick, I feel like it's just right to do it. I feel like these top three, the first three Michael songs that have to go are these three.
Yeah, exactly.
Beat It.
I see that. I see that.
So give me my first pick to end round one. All right, Beat It.
Good job, boys. Good job.
I feel like I would get roasted if I didn't pick it.
No,
I don't want to pick it, but I have to pick it.
You have to. Yeah.
But luckily with the snake draft, I get back-to-back picks. And I feel like
bite your tail.
I have to do this, again, based on just the way that this draft is. It's a draft, right?
Shut up. Just fucking pick it.
Well, you have all your intros. I can have my intros.
Shut the fuck up.
You had a monologue.
You're right. Go ahead. Why are you making this? I got to pick it because I got to pick it. I wasn't here giving facts. Mike Swedeen. He's a motherfucking engineer. The whole shit.
Imagine a child.
Whoa, wait. Where are you going with this, all right? Michael Jackson's innocent.
Singing his heart out.
Okay.
With his brothers. Getting the shit kicked out of him by his dad. The 50s was an amazing time.
All right. Okay. Right.
Give me I Want You Back.
I Want You
Jackson
Back.
Jackson 5.
All right, we writing this shit down? We writing this shit down?
I got it.
You got this?
That's why I was delayed on the B. I'm writing down this
This is a producer's job to write the shit down, though.
I don't know if you realize this, but we are recording.
So, EJ
said,
so write the shit down.
I got it.
Write the shit down.
So now we have Cammy.
Sassy ass producer.
So now we have Cammy for pick number two.
Pick number two.
I know my pick number three. I swear to God, if it goes, I'm going to be so fucking sad.
Dude, I'm going to go with probably one of my favorite Michael Jackson songs. I'm going to go with Rock With You.
Oh, thank God. Yeah, no, that deserves to be.
That's an amazing song. That's a feel-good song.
Oh!
Hey!
Big record. Hey. This is Off The Wall, right?
Yes.
This is Off The Wall?
Yes.
How old was he when Off The Wall came out? Was he like...
He was early 20s.
Yeah.
Early 20s. All right. So I'm going to stick with the same album, you know, and we do not want to stop till we get enough.
Oh, that's it.
We do not want to stop till we get enough. If I'm going from Billie Jean, imagine the mix on that.
Oh, dude.
Imagine the mix on that.
He has two picks.
Oh. Imagine the mix on that. Hey.
This song is so good.
Get the feeling. All right, right, so all right, so I go again, right?
And now we start round three.
Round three. Want to recap round two?
Yeah. So right now we have Fingers standing on Billie Jean and Don't Stop Till You Get Enough, some up-tempo bangers. We have Cammy with Thriller and Rock With You. Can't be mad at that.
Not upset.
And Snacks Daddy with Beat It and I Want You Back. Two different times, you know. We're running the gamut here.
Now, I'm going to move a little bit forward to the 1980s, late 1980s, all right? I'm going to go to the Bad album. This right here, you drop it in the motherfucking club right now, damn, and people are singing this shit, The Way You Make Me Feel. Put that shit on right there for number three.
This drum pattern is what, it's not four count, it's a three count.
Yes.
Right? So hard to mix.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to rule the. Come on, man. Come on. Yeah. This is what I do. It's what I do.
Hey, pretty baby. With the. Do you remember? What was it? The.
And then from there, I'm going to. You spin my head right around when you go down. You know what I'm saying?
You like the video that comes with that song?
What was.
Hey, yo.
What anniversary. Was it when he did? It was like in 2004, so that must have been the twenty year or 25 year anniversary. Of
yeah, it was 25.
Where he did that song with Britney.
Yeah, 25.
Oh, that was fucking great. Yeah. All right, on the board with round three with The Way You Make Me Feel.
Could have been 50. Whatever.
Cammy, round three. What do we got?
I got an ace in the hole. I'm saving for later.
Oh God, I don't want you to take my pick.
Is it old?
I mean, they're all old.
No.
Not old. All
right, yeah. Give me Smooth Criminal.
Ooh, I mean, that's on his later career.
I just trying to mess you up here.
One of my top three songs right here.
This was a moment. This was a moment.
The video, the aesthetic of the song is just dark.
And this led into. A lot of his aesthetic for like performances,
yeah,
like
yep.
The whole lean and yeah. the guys in suits and shit,
yeah.
A lot of renditions of the song as well.
Yeah, the rock version.
Quick fact: okay, Annie was a CPR doll because he's learning CPR at the time. The doll was named Annie, and you were trained to say Annie, are you okay when you're doing the. So that's where that's where it came from.
That's sick. I had no idea. That's very cool. That's very cool. Fingers just dropping bombs out here.
I am so glad my pick is still here. Oh, this is my favorite Michael Jackson song of all time. And it's tough because it's not as big as a Beat It. It's not as big as a Billie Jean. But it's my favorite. And I'm so happy to pick it. It's
Human Nature.
Good shit. That's
my
great pick.
That was
great
my. If you were gonna pick, that was my next pick.
That's a great pick.
That was my next pick. Right there.
Oh, I love this one.
Lot of renditions of this one too.
When Chris Brown came out with the she ain't you. Oh my god! Human Nature, give it to me. And I get another one. There's just so many ways.
Yeah, there's
you
a
can
lot.
Go. I'm obviously trying to think of the listeners because I feel like my picks are very. I don't know. Fuck. Okay. Give me. Fuck. Okay. I feel like I'm overlooking one, like really obvious one. I have the ones in my head. Can we do seven?
No,
we gotta stick to five.
Stick to five.
I don't want to pick it, but I feel like I have to pick it. Give me PYT.
Oh.
Not bad.
It's a good song. Dude,
it's not
song.
That it's bad. I'm picking more. I'm in defense right now. More than offense. Because I just did my personal pick.
Yeah.
So I got to not do my personal pick. You feel what I'm saying? I'm curious. There's going to be so many honorable mentions that I have one more pick left, and I'm not going to get all my picks. So I just started round four with PYT. Pretty Young Thing. Good Life Sample. Oh.
Dude.
Fuck. Yeah, people start pulling out the Spotify's.
Dude, you know
start
what?
Pulling out the Spotify.
I'm not going to even use it. I'm not going to even use it because I still need to – I need to get some Jackson 5 representation
yeah.
here.
Yeah, see, I'm in there.
So I'm going to go with I'll Be There.
You and I was made of it.
Nice.
Not the Friends theme song? That's not the same? No?
No.
Oh, okay. It's not.
You could tone play.
It's not. Oh, okay. I was just wondering. I don't know. White guy. I don't know.
Come on.
All right. Recap.
So Cammy V. No. Okay. Oh, yeah. That was round.
Well, he's got one more.
No,
you got
to get round four in.
Okay, round four.
So round four, then we'll recap.
This video at the
time. Oh, you're gonna do it. You're gonna you're
was
gonna
one of the biggest
you're
videos.
You're gonna do it. I'm already typing it.
Budgets
in.
Out here.
I'm already typing it.
Eddie Murphy in the video. Shaq in the video. Michael Jackson did a spin and he turned into dust and it was like a fucking cat after that. We're talking about Remember the Time. Let's
go. Do you remember the time?
My list is impeccable, unpenetrable.
This is Teddy, right?
Yeah. Yep. Teddy the new Jack Riley. Swing, new Jack
the
Swing.
The new Jack
vibe.
Swing vibe. Huge yes, in the sir. 90s.
Yep. Off the Dangerous album.
Yeah, this beat is crazy. Oh my God.
You know what I'm talking about?
This is the Egyptian vibes, right?
Do you remember time? How we fell in love? It just seemed like it.
Yeah, that's really good, bro.
Right there, son. I've been practicing my whole life. I've been waiting for this shit my whole life.
Do you remember?
Iconic part right here. Woo! Vocals. Do you remember, girl? Vocals. Let that ride real quick. On the phone, you and me. Shit. Do John, do three.
Oh,
wow, wow, wow.
Run down.
Oh.
Do you?
Thing is.
Yo, was Michael hating that? Was Michael like Dirty Mac at the time? Trying to tell a girl, yeah, you remember the time? You got a man on the ship, but you remember the time?
So he don't fuck you like I fuck you.
Yo, before Drake, right? Damn, all right, man, Jay.
You still watch the leak?
Of what?
Of the Drake leak, you still watch it?
I never watched it.
Oh, okay.
You said you watched it a few times, right? You analyzed it.
I mean, I wanted to see what everyone was talking about. I saw it.
No, I didn't see it. I try to stay away from that. Cammy V said he had that shit on loop. He turned that shit into a gif.
Okay. Round. A gif. So now you're starting round. This is your last pick, Fingers.
Fingers, you don't have any Jackson 5 is all I'm saying.
It's which fine. I'm surprised at.
It's fine.
I feel like you would be the guy.
It's fine. So.
You got good options.
All right. So, you know, I'm here to win. I'm here to win.
Fuck.
I'm here to win.
Dude, no. Don't take my pick, please. Please don't take my pick.
I'm here to win. So, you know, Michael Jackson is my guy. And you know, if we're going to do songs, we got to hit the ballads. So I'm going with iconic Man in the Mirror.
Damn it, dude. Fuck, that was my pick.
Iconic Man in the fucking Mirror.
That was my pick. Fuck, okay. Dude. Fuck.
I'm surprised that fell this far.
Yeah, you know that was my ace in the hole I was saving. For once in my life.
Real good, gonna make a difference, gonna make it right. As I turn up the crowd, you don't even say the words.
Baby, I went to
turn up the crowd, whoa, I think I went to core. English ruined.
Fingers with manners. Cammy stress. Cammy's on the clock.
Well, I got
King Fingers in the bundle, baby.
Damn, that would have.
Fingers is a really good list, bro.
Yeah,
and
that's
the kids
all, bro.
In the street. What are they up to eat?
Cammy, your last pick. What do we got, bro?
Dude, it's tough. It's tough. I feel like.
It's tough because there's so much.
I know.
List is garbage.
Damn, bro. That was my ace in the hole for the end. I'm so bummed.
It's a huge fifth pick. It's a huge fifth pick.
I know. I already checked my Jackson 5 box, so I don't really need to go take another one. Start of the album. Give me Wanna Be Starting Something.
Yeah, good song right there.
Too high to get over. Oh, this is another wild drum pattern. This is what? This is it's not disco, is it? Disco era, but this isn't.
The bass line.
It's more pop.
You want to just hold that?
I said it's more pop.
I mean, this has the big and the dance.
Please don't stop the music.
Killed it.
Don't stop the music.
This part is crazy. Fuck.
Yeah.
This part is crazy. Ah, my back. Okay.
What are you gonna go with, dude?
There's so many ways. I'm and honestly, the hardest part is picking. Like it now, I have hard. No pressure. I know what's left.
Yeah.
And there's a lot left.
There's a lot left.
Do I go with? I don't think I'm gonna win. I'm happy with my list. I love all the songs on it.
To be clear, no one has a bad list. No one has
right,
a bad list.
Right. That's facts. I think I might just go with a personal pick, man. I'm okay. Things I'm considering going back into the Jackson 5 is Who's Loving You?
It's a good one.
Which is just an insane. Like people just can't sing that song. It's just too hard.
If you don't pick the song that I haven't had right now, you're fucking nuts.
I'm picking a song that I really like. This is top five Jackson Michael Jackson song for me.
Okay.
And I'm really happy that I get to pick it, that it's on my board, and I'm gonna you know, that's my man. You know what I mean? I'm a rock with him, and that's gonna be get Chris Tucker out. Give me You Rock My World.
It's a great song.
Great album, a very underrated album. Very underrated album.
Is this Invincible?
Yes. Fun fact.
No. You don't bop to this?
Of course. I'm playing this in the club, baby. My life.
Hey, Boogie, sample that too.
I am very happy with picking that. I know I could have picked a lot of other shit, but I'm happy with it.
Snacks, give us a recap here.
So, on the Michael Jackson draft, Fingers, Billie Jean, Don't Stop Till You Get Enough, The Way You Make Me Feel, Remember the Time, Man in the Mirror, Bulletproof List, huh? Cammy V, Thriller, Rock With You, Smooth Criminal, I'll Be There, Wanna Be Starting Something. Snacks, Beat It, I Want You Back, Human Nature, PYT, and You Rock My World. Please let us know in the comments, who do you think won? Who do you think took this one? Who do you think has the best team of Michael Jackson songs?
I feel good. I feel good. We all did a good
again,
job.
Again, yeah, no one did. Like, I think this is part of, it's going to sound like I'm hating, but it's just part of the whole first pick thing, part of the whole snake draft thing. You know what I mean? I think.
Dude, for being in the middle, that's not bad for me.
Nope. He has. So I think we could have easily done 10, and I think the bottom half is where things would have really got like really determined.
I share a lot of fucking damage control here. Here I'm quiet, and I'm just gonna let the people talk. You know what? You know it could have been good here, but it was good there. When it could have been in the middle right here, when
it's a fucking there. Podcast. We have to
fuck
fucking
up.
Talk.
Shut
about
the fuck
it.
Up! You pick what you pick. I pick what I pick. It's all right. It is what it is. Let's keep it moving.
Beautiful book technique of the sky, you know.
Yeah, that's the heat. I think he got that from Michael Jackson right there. Michael Jackson might have said that in the motherfucking outtake. Beautiful book technique, bitches, in the sky, you know.
That was timed really well. That was funny. Hold on, what are songs that we left out before we wrap this up? Black or White was in my head.
Black or White.
ABC.
ABC.
You Are Not Alone.
You Are Not Alone.
You Are Not Alone. They Don't Care About Us.
Working Day and Night. You got me working, thing. Yeah, I know about that. She's out of my life.
Liberian Girl.
Huge. I'm surprised none of y'all picked that shit.
Yeah, Liberian Girl's a huge
That's
one.
That's a big bop right there.
What about that Drake feature, huh?
Which one is that?
That was an awful
feature. Don't matter to me.
My son loves that song, but the vocals on that sound like AI.
Well, Baby Be Mine is a really good one. No Big Bad.
Did somebody say I'll Be There? You said I'll Be There, right?
Yeah. No one picked Bad.
I thought I would take it Bad, but I want to be starting some. Check the box for me.
But anyway, thanks so much for listening, guys. Thanks so much for playing. Let us know in the comments again what you think. And reach out to us. Let us know if you have any questions specifically for us, for the show, anything that you want us to talk about. But until then, we'll see you next time.
Peace.